The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, gather around, everybody. 866-660-5759. I crave stories. There were, apparently, I mean, I don't want to throw this around, so I looked for some news reports. Were there 50,000 people there last night? And I'm dead serious. 20,000 inside, 30,000 outside. Doggone it, man. I'm going to share something with you. This sometimes you boil something down to its utmost simplicity. I want you to understand something. 50,000 people descended on a venue to hear a politician speak for an hour and a half. Go back 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. At some point in American history, 50,000 people will drive, walk, fly, ride those infernal stupid scooters, whatever you got to do to get there. 50,000 people will go there to listen to a politician talk for an hour and a half. No, you're high, talk show boy. Well, last night it happened, but it was no ordinary politician. And this is no ordinary day for a number of reasons. Let's begin with reason number one. It's Friday.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
So good. I got to you.
Riding along in my automobile. My baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile.
It is Chuck Berry's birthday.
My curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio.
We got all kinds of places to go.
With no particular place to go.
You know what? And we got a lot to do here, but first an in-depth analysis. Chuck Berry's no particular place to go. Love Chuck Berry, born 93 years ago. He died in 2017, but no particular place to go. Riding along in my automobile is actually exactly the same song as School Days. Ring, ring goes the bell.
Up in the morning and out to school.
I mean, please.
The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math.
You do these side by side.
You study them hard and hoping to pass.
Cruising along with my radio. No particular place to go. Okay, enough about that. It is Chuck Berry's birthday. Ah, but let's not bury the lead. Because for multiple reasons, we want to do this in our first segment. Number one, she was there last night. I was there last night. We saw each other not one bit. Lisa and I were there. Rhonda was there going through a different funnel. And also, it is Chuck Berry's birthday, but he has always had to share it for the last years with birthday girl producer Rhonda K. Moreland. Happy birthday.
Good morning, Sunshine.
How you doing,
thank
man?
You. That's a great way to start my
there
birthday.
There you go. Little Chuck Berry, little Friday, little Trump rally.
I thought you were going to say that's what you and Lisa listened to on the way down there. When you were playing it, I was like, I can totally. Y'all were so excited.
And
I was...
We were stoked. Okay, now, here's the thing. This required unbelievable discipline. So we've said not one word to each other, except a couple of texts back and forth, which were tough last night because the AAC during a Trump rally, I don't know what the deal is. It was cellular hell. My tweets weren't loading. Stuff was taking forever because I'm throwing videos around to people. Tom Tradup wants something for SRN, shooting from the crowd. So we know virtually nothing about our actual mutual experience. You first, because you got there first, by hours. I spent yesterday's show telling everybody, not really joking, you might want to get down there like now. And this was at 7 o'clock yesterday morning. Little did I know how smart that was, and I was also completely unable to do that. Got to get Ethan home from school, a lot going on. So we didn't roll in until almost time, but you got there when?
I arrived at 2:30.
Gotcha. You had, and there are a lot of ways to get into the building. One was the sort of everybody way with, you know, going to the website, blah, blah, blah. You had a media credential. We had VIP section stuff. The first thing I want to tell you is you had the better deal. You had the far better deal.
Absolutely.
Now, and then now this, before it sounds like grumpy, I'm going full Mike Gallagher here. He's not pleased that he wasn't on the podium with the president. I'm Robin Leach. No, so we go.
Have you seen my pictures yet?
Well, I guess not. So here's the deal. So I got VIP. But we couldn't get there till pretty late. I mean, we probably got there at five, little before five, huge security line, and it's moving really slowly, and then it starts to move really quickly. And we're coming in at the south side of the AAC, where the big screen was, where 30,000 people would later gather to watch who could not get in at all. And they finally open up the thing. We got eight doors of VIP. Well, you know what 8 doors of VIP means? No doors of VIP. It's like, what is it? Is it full? I don't know. So we get in there, and we finally get to what is the VIP section. You know what it was? Pretty close. Pretty good line of sight to the stage from behind. You watch a Trump rally and see the people sitting behind him.
Well, I think the idea was probably that they wanted pictures of the VIP.
Oh, yeah. Guess what? Take a picture of me in my house. Because when I'm there, I'd kind of like to be in front. So Lisa looked at me and I looked at her and I said, we're out of here. So he said, we explored the building. We met a million people. We did it like real people. And we were in the 200s, eventually the 300s, then back to the 200s in the front to the side. We had the best time. We did something. If you're thinking, well, I didn't have VIP seats, screw VIP seats. I was among everybody and had a blast. Now, here's the thing. Did you have to stand up the whole time?
Oh, no. Where I made friends.
Okay. But that was the media gaggle, yes, right in front of the stage, right, which looked like about 500 folks. And this is not back on the risers where the cameras are. That was behind you.
I started out.
Tell me about you.
Okay. So I was surprised how easily I was able to pull in and park. Mm-hmm. And then
Well, yes.
You know. But you say that. There were so many people already, mm-hmm, in line. And, mm-hmm, then just the crowd and the energy. And I was just so stressed about, you know, time. And I had no idea how long everything was going to take. But it really ran so smoothly. But I identified the VIP so I could text you and Lisa and, mm-hmm, kind of say, hey, this is where you need to go. And, mm-hmm, then I went over to the media place. But I wanted to kind of stay outside because there was so much energy.
That's where the people were
so excited. And I did have to really walk in front of people. You know, people always want to make us conservatives out to be these grumpy, you know, nasty people. But everybody was so happy and excited. And, you know, I had to cut in through a bunch of lines to get to where I was going to pick up my media credentials. But people were like, oh, no, come on over. And here, let me hold the, you know, yellow line down for you. And held my hand as if I was, you know, stepping off a yacht. It was so fabulous. And everybody was so nice and just energetic and fun.
So where exactly, when Lisa and I were watching from what had to be 3 or 4 different vantage points, where exactly were you?
Okay, so I go through the security line and they're like, okay, you know, and I was going to hook up with our radio partners, KTNO, and see, you know, Radio Row, and everybody's wanting, you know, texting me going, where's Mark Davis? They want him to pop on for a segment. Mm-hmm. But I went through and they were like, okay, press is over here. And I went down and I'm like on the floor.
Right.
So I just walk on and I'm right there with the, you know, all the TV cameras. And it's so funny because, you know, I see these seats and I was like, okay, well, let me see. Nobody's sitting there. So I walked by and it was like Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, you know, they were all reserved. And
right.
I was like, okay, well, then I kind of walked around the other side and I walked around in the back and, you know, behind the stage, but there's nothing to see at the time.
Right.
And so I see Salem Media Group placards on, you know, taped to the.
That's us.
I was like, well, that's us.
Is that our news people or something or what?
Well, I didn't know at the time it was empty. And so I just grabbed a seat and kind of.
I work for these people.
did a few tweets. Well, I thought I'd sit there until they came. Well,
of
then
course.
They came and then they were like, oh, my gosh. And so, always.
Accommodating?
Yes.
Okay.
Our Salem media.
Okay. No, I know. But here, let me tell you something. Even within the same company, sometimes, you've been in radio for roughly exactly five years. Since,
mm-hmm,
you walked into this building, and, mm-hmm, we're grateful for that day. Let me tell you how space works in situations like that. Get the hell out of my chair.
Well, I
was, but I work for the same company. I don't care.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of my chair.
No, and I was totally prepared.
So that's how it usually works. So this
was, an empty
special
seat.
All around.
Yes, mm-hmm. And there was an empty seat, right. and I was totally prepared to that. I was like, hey, I was just going to hook up with, you know, charge my phone and rest a little bit. But they were like, no, stay.
Awesome. So, okay.
So my new friends, Randy and Leland, and they have a show in Orlando. Yeah. So they're already on the plane back. And we had a blast.
So speaking of people who did shows there, our Lubbock buddy, Chad Hasty, is from KFYO, is doing his show from our building, from across the hall from me this morning. He starts at 8:30. He's going to hop on with us at 8:05 to share his experience. And then after I'm done, I'll go share some time with him and talk to the good people of Lubbock. So it started really late. We sit at home and we watch Trump rallies in Minneapolis, whatever, Florida, blah, blah, blah. And if it's due to start at 7, it's usually 7:05, 7:10. This was every bit of 7:30, 5:40. We waited forever. They played the same flipping seven songs.
I mean,
whatever. They need me to consult
the
these
Lionel
events.
Richie. What was that?
It was hello. Is it me you're looking for?
No,
well, you know, honestly, even that has a Trump ring to it. Is it me you're looking for? Anyway, the reason they held it up, because he was totally in the building. He tweeted. President Trump tweeted, hello, Dallas, I'm in the building. We're just waiting for them to let people in. There had to be thousands of people who hadn't gotten in yet, because it's straight up 7 or 7:05. There were still probably 1,000.
Well, that 2, whole 000, upper deck
was still it was about half full.
Yes.
By the time he started, shoulder to shoulder. By the time there was not an empty seat in the entire place. So he comes out, and it's funny. At this point, we're up about 3/4 around, and I got to from pretty about halfway up the arena, saw the entire place just light up. What was it like from your perspective as he comes out to God Bless the USA?
Amazing. Oh, my goodness. I don't know even know how I got to where I was. I mean, I can't to think about the fact that I almost didn't even go. And there's the music, and it was pumping, and like the whole, you're, it's like going through your whole body, and everybody's just cheering. And then he comes out, and I am like right there. And it was just so amazing that there, the energy, and like how different. There were so many different people and colors and races and ages and, I mean, attire. It was
definitely
insane.
Attire.
It was insane.
You talk about diversity. It was people of every age. The crowd was not all white. Somebody, I don't even know who it was, they said, this is a Trump rally. It looks like America. There was like an old white guy, young black man, old Hispanic guys, some type of middle-aged Eskimo. I don't even know. But it was just everybody, and it was glorious. Now, let me thank you for the best idea ever. You ready? Because getting down there and parking, where'd you park?
I ended up parking like pretty close.
Oh, again, 2:30. Yes. So we're rolling up at like 5, and thank you for the smartest idea ever. We Ubered to the, we drove to the Sheraton Suites at 35 and Market Center, left the car there, Ubered the last mile. Okay. Not even a mile.
Mm-hmm.
However, now it's getting to be 5:15. We're sitting in the Uber. Brandon, our Uber driver, who may well be listening, because I give a business card to everybody. We get to right the bridge, right, whether you go under 35 and you're about to go, you make your right onto Victory, go down to the AAC. We didn't move for like 5 minutes. We looked at Brandon and I said, dude, we got to get out. He said, go ahead. Pulled over. So we got out and walked about the last quarter mile and got in there. And then on the reverse, we left about 5 minutes early because I said, we just got to do this. We got to get home. It's going to be crazy. So we bolted and walked back out. And it's funny because I was thinking, if we leave a little early, am I going to walk into the gaping maw of a bunch of rock-throwing protesters?
Right.
It was nothing.
No, it was
nothing.
It was
this
so
is
smooth.
Not, this
it
is
was
not
so
Minneapolis.
Easy.
We are not Minnesota. So.
Well, so my new friends, they had been to the Minneapolis.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
No.
And they said it was horrible.
People's hats were set on fire. They were beaten up. They had crap thrown at them. It was crazy.
You know what they also said in contrast to the other rallies? Because I guess they just do this. They go to all these rallies.
Good so for
they,
them.
Yes,
jeez.
I know. How fabulous. And so, they got a kick out of me because it was my first one. And so just like caught up in
They're
this
like,
whole
oh,
thing.
Another rally.
Oh, no. And so, but they said by far we were the loudest, and they said that New Jersey was like unhinged. But that just to put it into perspective, you shared some numbers, and you said what 50,000?
Well, there were 20,000 inside,
and
our estimates there were 30,000 people outside.
Yes, and I think it was even more than 20,000 if you add the floor.
I think 20,000 with, because Mavericks capacity is about 18. Stars okay. and Mavs capacity is about 18.
Well, I'm not so a good numbers person. I'm a people person. But they said, but to my point, to put it in perspective, New Jersey was 9,000 people.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it was so amazing. But we were talking about just the diversity, and it's so funny because everybody wants us to believe that where's all the, you know, how come it's only white, you know, people there? Well, I got to tell you, I was telling Anna from over our friends over at KTNO before we walked in here.
Our Spanish language teaching and talk gospel station.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think there was a larger Hispanic population
right.
there last night
you
than
got that right.
than anybody. Mm-hmm. And especially, and this is what blew my mind, is when they chanted that build the wall. Mm-hmm. My whole body was just reverberating with just how loud it was, but there was the cutest little Hispanic lady in front of me, Latina, yes. and she was there, and she was chanting it too.
Build the wall.
And I think even got it in the Facebook. I did do some Facebook living for our Mark Davis Show listeners on the Facebook page.
I was in cellular lockdown, so everybody go to the Mark Davis Show Facebook page.
Yes,
at producer Rhonda K, Ronda capital K on Twitter. And as we send her in to answer calls, we're going to bug Mike Gallagher, who is eating Doritos on the bed.
I cannot believe that Mike Gallagher was not here.
At his condo in Florida, Mike was there. We'll talk to him in just a moment. So, but as we send you into the other room, as people call you, say happy birthday as you pick up calls and we talk about an amazing night. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Happy birthday. And everybody,
let's go. President Trump, for the amazing birthday party.
Exactly right. Let's try to swing that every year. 866-660-5759. Let's do it. 725. We're going to check in with Brother Mike Gallagher here in just a moment as we get ready to head into the newsroom. And, man, we're lining you up like planes stacked over DFW. Your thoughts about the rally, whether you were there or not, watched it at home, stood outside the building, watched it on the big screen, or rubbed elbows with those of us inside the building. Come on, it's Trump Rally the morning after. 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis, 731, Gordon Griffin in the newsroom.
Hello, is it me you're looking for?
If I hear this song one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I can see it in your eyes.
So let us say hello to Mike Gallagher.
I can see
you remember
it in
my,
your
I
smile.
Told you my moment of greatness. I sat behind him on a plane once.
That's right, and he was lovely and gracious, wasn't he?
He was so nice to everybody. Flight attendants were taking pictures with him, and he was the nicest guy in the world.
And I love him.
I kept thinking, if I had his money, I'd never fly commercial. I'd pull a Joe Biden. I'd be private.
So I love Lionel. I love the Commodores. My problem with Hello, my problem I have now with Aerosmith's Dream On and the Animals' House of the Rising Sun is I heard them 27 times last night at the Trump rally. We love Trump. We love the rally, but it's time. It's time for to throw in a little.
I was so jealous of
your persnickety in some ways. Here's me. And I know they don't have to do anything. They could sit us all on Lambeau Field aluminum seats and have it rain inside the building, and we would still love it. We'd still love it. But I'm just give me 60 seconds. Can you get a longer playlist? The same dang songs about every seven, you know, just a rotation. And Mike, I'm going to say this to you privately with thousands of people listening. If there's anything that it was so great, and we're about to describe 500 ways in which it was so great. If there's one thing this thing needs, Mike, you know what it is. It's me.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I mean, first of all, I need to
MC these things because they had Cornyn just wander up and start talking like 2 hours early. Had Dan Patrick up there, you know, like an hour and a half early. And then we're all sitting there listening to loud blaring music. I'm not saying that I need to go. In fact, less of me is more. Except here on the show. Less of me is more. Every 5-10 minutes, hey, how you doing? Get everybody pumped, and then hear some more tunes. This cries out for someone who knows something about showmanship, because once the president hits the stage, it's showmanship cranked up to 11. But in the couple of hours leading up to it, this was begging for somebody, I don't know who comes to mind, me, to do exactly that. So, guys, I love you. You got my number. Doggone it, man. Let's hook up next time.
Let me gently
thank
push
you.
Back.
I feel better. You. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you do, because now you're going to get mad because I'm going to push back. Okay. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
These guys have a formula. One of the formulas is it's not a slickly produced, as you saw firsthand.
Jeez.
These rallies are not slickly produced.
Damn.
This doesn't look like they spent a gazillion dollars on it, because they really, frankly, don't. It is the star of the show the guy on the podium.
I totally
he is
get
everything.
It. Totally
and
get
they,
it.
And I don't think they care about how good the
You're
production
a thousand
value is.
Percent right.
You know, yep. They want, because you saw in person, and I've been to these rallies before, and doggone it, we blew it. You know what? I should have gone to Dallas. You and I should have been out there together in front of the AAC.
It's 7 o'clock in
we
the morning?
There was 2,000 people out there already.
I'm good.
I mean, I think we would have had so much fun. I just do the show.
Well, let me get the show over with, and then let's just you and I go down and go hang.
Well, we could have just hung out. Yeah,
teasing.
We would have had fun.
Teasing.
But I mean, I was so, and it was so funny because you and I were kidding about you fighting the throngs of people. And I'm sure you were a rock star with your wife there in the.
It was tremendous on the concourse level. We had another entire event.
I'll bet. But here I am. You said, all these people and everything, and I kind of jealous that you're watching on TV. I said, yeah, I'm in my underwear eating Doritos on my bed in Florida, and you're where the action
is. That's right.
So sorry. I'd rather be where
awesome.
You were. I was so jealous. I was having so much fun watching it. Man, he was on all cylinders last night.
He was, and he'd been dragging through Johnson County at the Louis Vuitton plant down in, what's funny is they said it was in Keene, but it's apparently in Alvarado, or as the president calls it, Alvarado, Texas.
Alvarado.
It was so awesome. And I'll tell you, it'd been a busy day. He was on fire. And the media narrative, Mike, was, weirdest day ever. Mick Mulvaney threw him under the bus. Impeachment is driving him crazy. He was relaxed, energized, and on fire. And so was the crowd.
I'm going to show you how weird the day was. I'm going to play an interview, and I got permission from Hugh, because he's a little prickly about this sometimes with some of my criticisms.
Yeah.
But Hugh Hewitt, before early this morning, before you came on.
Which guest? I think I heard it. Tim Alberta?
Tim Alberta.
Yeah.
At the American awesome. Carnage author, and Hugh is literally playing the Mick Mulvaney audio.
Yes.
And Tim Alberta's defense was, but Hugh, I was with anonymous sources who are congressional staffers and White House officials.
And they're mortified.
And they heard it differently.
Yes.
And he was like, well, here's the tape. And he played it. And he played Mulvaney saying, there's literally nothing to do with Biden.
Yep.
It had to do with looking this investigation into whether Ukraine interfered with our election, which incidentally, I thought the Trump haters demanded an answer to.
We've got to know what kind of interference.
We've got to know. Yeah. All right. So Trump's investigating. They want to find out. The Justice Department, they're looking into what role did Ukraine play. Hey, if Biden is caught up in this with the $50,000 a month thing on with his son, okay, so be it.
Let's see. Uh-huh.
But let's see. Let's investigate. But Hugh played the actual tape. It's a little bit like reading the transcript of the call between Zelensky and Trump and realizing they don't have anything, Mark.
Yep.
And Tim Alberta's most pathetic. And I'm going to play it. I'm playing the interview today. Tim Alberta, he would say was, well, I was with anonymous sources. Of course, they're always anonymous.
Oh, of course they are.
They never list who the staffers are.
Yep.
They never announce who they are. Sometimes I think they're the voices in these reporters' heads. I think they're their imaginary playmates. I don't even know that they're even true, to be very blunt with you. But that was his whole pathetic explanation. Oh, well, Hugh, I have to tell you, the people I was with, they heard it differently. And Hugh's like, here's what he said.
Yes.
He laid it out. Here's the three reasons we withheld the money. Listen, we control the purse strings. We're not obligated to give Ukraine one darn dime.
No.
And if we want to say we're going to hold off until you get to the bottom of something that we are investigating, that's done all the time. They got nothing.
Nothing.
They got nothing, and they know it. And I'm telling you, Lance Anderson is giving me crazy numbers from the AAC last night.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the number I keep hearing. You were there. 20,000 absolutely packed to the rafters inside.
Mm-hmm.
I heard 10,000 outside.
Oh, dude, no, way more. 30.
No, Lance is hearing 30,000 outside.
Correct. 50,000 total people. Correct.
So he's right. 30,000 outside.
Yep.
Is that is that verified?
Well, here's the I googled a ton of stories from some people who listen. Everybody, not the Dallas police didn't do something official. They asked a bunch of people who've done crowd estimates before. And listen, I tell you what, let's do. I'm going to give Trump his 50. I'm going to give Beto his 5,000 in Grand Prairie, and say, okay, if that's what you say, that's what you say. And so that's what people who have eyeballed crowds for a living. Or
saying five with Beto and 50 with Trump. Now, honest to goodness, you can yell impeachment all you want. Ask yourself a question, Democrats, and I'm serious. Do you think Pocahontas could draw 50,000 screaming people on a Thursday night in Dallas, Texas?
I have an even better question. And I'm not better, but I want you to think about this one, all right? And in a way, it's unfair because it's a different era, et cetera, et cetera. I from one of my vantage points, I was up kind of high and looked out at a seething, loving, magnificent, adulatory crowd. Ready? Right. Think about this one. Right. I don't know the answer to it. Could Reagan have done this? I don't know. Our love for Reagan, our appreciation. We lived through, I don't.
But it's a different era now. We're kind of a WWE mindset.
Don't get, derision or bad. Here, you know where we are?
No, I don't. I mean that. I don't mean that in a negative way.
See if the following paragraph works. Thank God for Reagan. He changed our direction, saved our country, improved our country, coming out of a terrible presidency in Jimmy Carter. Trump saving us from Hillary saved the country. And now we have to do it again. The stakes are so much higher. Post-Reagan, presidents of both parties took us in some bad directions. Congresses of both parties took us in some bad directions. We were at the brink. Trump is saving us from the brink every day. So it's not really Trump versus Reagan, it's almost impossible to do because the eras are different. But this is, I guess it's just my way of saying, even with a figure as revered as Reagan, what we saw last night and what we see in all these rallies is truly unique. We've never seen it before. We may never see it again.
Well, what we're seeing now, and the reason the Reagan comparison makes me uncomfortable is because Ronald Reagan absolutely looked, sounded, and felt like a very statesman-like president. Mm-hmm. He was so good at it, and he was what is the traditional model of what and at one point last night in the rally, President Trump made fun of, well, I could be presidential, and he did that. He's done that before.
It's
hysterical. He walks around, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. I am your president. Thank you so much for being here. He said you'd be running for the rafters, you'd be running for the exits, because he's, and that's the other thing, that when people, all your listeners who were there last night, he's so funny
and relaxed. He made some fun of Cruz, shared love with Cruz and made fun of him in the same 60 seconds,
which was brilliant.
It was
Cruz was laughing. The cameras were focused on all those guys.
Yep.
I mean, they showed Cruz, they showed Rick Perry when he was acknowledging all the Texas delegation. They were just beaming, and he knew every one of them and you're right. That's Trump's magic, is to, because we all know what he did to Senator Cruz in the debate, but look what he did to Cruz. He said, hey, he told that great story about reading about what a brilliant debater Cruz is.
Yep.
And how he went to Melania and his kids and said, how in the heck am I going to beat the best debater in the country?
Exactly.
I mean, that self-deprecating stuff that they never talk about. But he does it all the time. He talks like we do. He's so relatable, and he's funny, and he's fun, and he is – listen – he gives two craps, Mark. Yeah, that's why he doesn't care about the G7 at the Miami Doral Country Club.
Ari Fleischer, who I really love, former Bush press secretary, one guy from Bush world who actually really does like Trump, because God knows the Bushes themselves don't. And he said, oh, this is crazy. He's giving them red meat. This is just a really terrible move. And I literally tweeted back, no one who matters cares that the G7 will be held at a Trump property. Flippin' deal.
But who trolls better than he does?
I know. And that's exactly why he did it, too.
And they always fall for it.
Yep.
He's Lucy with the football, and then he pulls
laser
the football
pointer
back.
And they're the cats. Yep.
There's the Ari Fleischers of the world. Ooh, let me get my pearls. This is terrible. And it's like, nobody gives a rat's rear end. He owns hotels.
Yep.
What are you going to do? He owns hotels. They're going to try. Now they're going to try emoluments clause.
Yep.
And look, already Fox News, they're talking to Republicans in the Senate. They aren't even the least bit worried about convicting and removing.
Nope.
It isn't going to happen. They're going to impeach. The Senate's going to acquit, and he's going to win in a landslide because he's going to be a rock star.
So you are pretty solid that the vote in the House will indeed happen.
Oh, it has to. I don't know how they can run the clock out. I mean, they're going to look. Now, if that's the other beauty, let them try.
Yep.
Run the clock out, and let's see how bad they look by November of 2020. Because the constant theme will be, you said you wanted to impeach me. Yeah. Why haven't you?
Yeah.
And I'm being told by White House sources, he wants him to do it.
Yep.
He's begging him
There's
to do it.
There's a part of him that says, bring it. It will actually help me in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it will. Yeah, I mean, I think it will, too.
You think he's got strong? You think he's got strong support now? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Yeah,
let's impeach him over the G7 at the Doral.
Exactly.
Oh, great.
Exactly right.
Yeah, nice. Nice. 50,000. I can't wait to hit the airwaves and talk about that. Congratulations on going. I wish I was there. Next time there's a Dallas rally, come on, let's do it. Let's do a two-man routine.
I am absolutely ready. All right, but
maybe
Mr. Float a Hint special skill for floating.
Oh, I've already got the word in.
Maybe, just maybe, I don't know, in the heat of the primary season, maybe you and me on a stage somewhere. Oh, I've said too much.
Oh, heaven forbid. Is Gorka not available? What about Newt? What is Newt Gingrich busy? Okay, listen, I don't mind being sloppy thirds. Go ahead, I'll come join you if you need me. No problem.
Larry couldn't make it.
Get Mike Krejci on the line. See if Larry's available.
I knew that was a mistake.
No worries. Oh no. Hey, no, I'm not bitter at all.
He's ready. He's ready in every way. Mike Gallagher, today for you, every day, today at 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Now my friend, I got to go. Tell everyone I know. Say goodbye, bye, bye, Dallas. I can't stay. You should have been at the palace.
Rusty Young, Timmy Schmidt, and the boys of Poco in Dallas.
Got to go.
That's a live version from 1980. Poco's Dallas was on their wonderful 1975 album called Head Over Heels. But who wrote it? Answer is Walter Beck or Donald Fagen. It was actually the first Steely Dan single that precisely no one heard. It was not on their debut album, Can't Buy a Thrill, but there you go. Poco singing Bye Bye Dallas. Trump has said Bye Bye Dallas, leaving much joy in his wake. My talk show buddy, Chad Hastie of KFYO, is across the hall. I'm going to go get him and sit him down here right after the news. But first, in Coppell, Scott Mark Davis, how are you, sir?
Doing wonderful, Mark. Thank you.
How'd it work out for you?
Worked great. You know, we took the dart down there. No problem, of course, getting down there. coming back, you know, it was jammed up. But
yeah.
First train, Green Line, coming from the south to the north. Boy pulls up, we're all cheering and all that. And you look inside, and every seat looks taken.
There you go, man. There you go. It was going to be kind of busy getting in and out of there.
Yeah, but we squeezed in that first train and got off of downtown Carrollton. You know, a little crowded, but it was part of the experience.
Yes, it was. I hope you had a good time. Let me do a couple of, just at least one more person here before we roll up, talk to Chad. I'll put some of y'all on with Chad. Two talk show hosts for the price of one in Salina. Craig, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, real quick, I just want to say happy birthday to Rod. I didn't get a chance to tell her.
There you go. Now it's done officially and publicly.
There you go. Hey, listen, we were there. I took my mom. We drove down there. We got there about 5 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Funny, quick story. We're standing there in line. My mom realizes that she's got people there. They get us all the way to the front, man.
Whoa.
Otherwise, we would have been stuck outside.
Good Lord, my mom has people there. Who'd she have there? Ivanka?
Friends from high school that knew people.
Yeah. It is a world, especially in Trump's world, it's a world of connections. Awesome, Craig. God bless you. God bless your mom. All righty, more stories. I think I'm going to plug some of y'all in. We want to talk to two talk show guys at the same time. The radio king of Lubbock, my buddy Chad Hastie. We've had him on because he's all over the Texas political scene, and we've talked a lot about the Michael Quinn Sullivan. Oh, I ran into Michael Quinn Sullivan at the concourse level. Put a Twitter picture of that up there on my Twitter, at Mark Davis. Just look at that. There's me and Lisa. There's me and MQS. It was awesome. So let me go get Chad, make sure his show's ready to go, because this one sure is, and we're so honored to have you as part of it. 7:59, Mark Davis, 6:60 AM, The Answer.